Well, Pastor, today we're going to be talking about a couple of things. Well, first, we will, again, as part of what we're doing, you know, on our radio broadcast, I want to talk a little bit about the importance of being able to, as individuals, right, as men of God, you know, are we prepared in this 2017, you know, forgetting last year? Last year, it might have been a fruitful year for you. Mm-hmm. It might have been a desert.
Right.
But moving forward in 2017, the importance of every man of God to know how to share the gospel, to sow those seeds. I believe it's in Mark chapter 4. Mm. We talk about the sowing of seed on different grounds.
Right.
That God prepares the ground, but we are as the sower of the seed, which is his word.
Mm-hmm.
Are we prepared to go and sow seed no matter where we are and what we're doing? What right. do you say, sir?
The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says that always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that lies within us. That means that we should always be ready to share what we believe. We should always be prepared. Now, Christianity is the only religion that kind of goes into a gunfight with a knife. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, really?
Yeah, and I say that because you go to any other religion, Judaism, Islam, mm-hmm. Buddhism, you go to any other religion, and their children are prepared, their people are prepared. They know what they believe, they know how to explain what they believe, and they know how to back up those references with proper whatever their
doctrine
teaching is.
Or, yeah. Yeah, from the Quran yeah. or whatever, yes.
We Christians are the only ones that go in and say, and I know it because I feel it. You know?
Okay, really? All right, go ahead, Pastor.
So, but we go in not prepared to explain why we believe what we believe,
mm-hmm.
What it means to be a Christian, what it means, what is salvation, what is, mm-hmm. well, who is God, who is Jesus Christ, who mm-hmm. is the Holy Spirit. We go in unprepared.
Amen.
And because we go in unprepared, we don't have that reason for the hope that lies within us. Therefore, we come ill-equipped to defend the gospel, mm-hmm. let alone share it or proclaim it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Bible says that we're supposed to proclaim the gospel. That means that we're supposed to be able to speak it. We're supposed to be able to tell people about the goodness and the love of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made for us. You know, and we're not prepared to do that. We don't have the ability because we don't prepare ourselves. Everything is based on a feeling. Everything is based on our emotions getting worked up in a service and running around the church and dancing. But, you know, it's beyond that. We have to be able to explain why we believe what we believe. And a question sometimes is that a question was asked, if somebody came into your church that did not know how to read, that has never read a Bible, that does not know who Jesus Christ is, how can you explain Jesus Christ to them? How can you explain salvation to them?
Right.
And this is the things that we have to be prepared for.
Amen. And like you said, I think one of the things we have to, as the body of believers, as born again, biblical Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit within us to guide and direct our lives, we have to be prepared to share and prepare. Like you
right.
said, defend the faith.
Right.
I mean, we listed all those other religions. And in some of the other cults, we have the Jehovah's Witness, we have the Mormons.
Uh-huh.
They go through a whole process before
yes.
they hit the street.
Right.
You know, and the Jehovah's Witness, is one thing. I can say one thing about them. I got other stuff. But right now, I'm going to say they're faithful to what they believe.
Yes.
Because they prepared. And we all know, we know on Saturdays, you're going to find Jehovah's Witness walking and doing whatever they do, how they do.
Right.
But that, again, they feel they have a responsibility to it. And
exactly.
I think us in the true body of Christ, we are not being that kind of witness sometimes.
Yes.
Now, I don't say that we have to get into a cultish mindset.
Yeah.
Because, for those who are watching, the Jehovah's Witness, their salvation is based on works. And
yeah.
I believe it right there, because we can do a whole show on that, and we might do one someday. But it's works. But ours is because we love God.
Right.
Because we've given our life for Christ, because what Christ has done for us, and we want to share others.
Right.
And Jesus gave us the great commission to go and teach all nations, baptizing
right.
them
right.
in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's
right.
that simple.
It's that simple.
So, like you say, we have to understand what we believe and why we believe it.
Right.
And then when it comes to you, because you have to be able to answer questions.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to have, what I say is have conversations and not sermons. Because we have great pastors and preachers, and well, we have great preachers out here and pastors, but there's teaching.
Yeah.
And teaching sometimes is just sharing what you know and what you believe and why. Because people can ask you questions. I mean, we can come up with cliches, but then, you know, is God really love? And how do you know he's love?
Exactly.
If God is love, how is he sending people to hell? Uh-huh. How many of our folk out there right now can answer that to an unbeliever and not blow them off and thinking, you know, you personally offended?
Right.
Because they ask you a question.
Exactly.
In the body, it's, as true Christians, if we look at the book of Acts, Paul was able to stand and give a reason.
Mm-hmm.
He directed that. Peter had to stand and give a reason.
Yes.
And he had to stand and give a reason to the church to encourage them during persecution.
Yes.
Could we do that today? Could you do that today in Maryland, Annapolis, New York, wherever you're hearing this, as a Christian, could you stand and give an account and understand what the gospel to someone, not give them, say, well, go to Romans 6, 6, and
exactly.
And go to Romans 9 and 10.
Exactly.
But can you share the faith that you believe in?
Exactly.
That you, unfortunately, that you should be willing to die for.
Exactly.
But the persecution comes, because I believe Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you.
Mm-hmm.
So don't think everybody's going to like you. Because again, there's so many shows we're going to do in 2017. Because we need to bring, we need to read scripture as our directions and our guideline and for how we live in and what we believe. And we have to take all of the gospel.
Exactly.
We can't take out the parts we like and the parts we want to come to pass. It's all of it. What do you say, sir?
I think, you know, we, for the first time in history, we are entering a generation of people that know nothing about church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know, when we were growing up, we had grandma, we had great-grandma, we had big mama, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, church was kind of integrated into the culture a little bit more than it is
now.
Yeah.
So we had somebody that knew something about Jesus Christ, that knew something about God, that sort of introduced you to church, you know, introduced you to God. We're now coming up on a generation where grandma is 40.
Oh, okay. Lord.
All right. Ma is 20, and the baby, you know, none of them is worried about Jesus. They all still trying to get their party on. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And nobody knows anything about church. Nobody knows anything about salvation. So now all of the biblical cliches that we used to have become ineffective because these people have never been in church.
There's no foundation for what you're saying.
There's no foundation.
Yeah, you're
so now.
Amen.
If God has called us to be fishers of men, he told Peter, he's like, come. He said, come, I'll make you fishers of men. Okay, if you go fishing, you got to have a hook.
Yes, sir.
Okay, or you got to have a net that's going to catch them. And if you're going to go fishing, you got to have some kind of bait.
Amen.
Okay, so if we're going to go present the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can't just throw out a line and think people are going to bite on it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to give them something that's going to catch their attention. Hook them in. You got to be able to present it in a way that it baits them into a conversation, okay? And we have to be able to be creative enough, which means you have to know it, as I like to say, down in your knower, okay? Where it's beyond having to work up something.
Right.
Okay, it's rote, it's repeat, it's muscle memory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know it down in your knower. So I can sit here and have a conversation with you without having to pull out my Bible or my tablet and flip through and say, well, let me get to this point here, or let me bring up this point here. Let me get to Romans 10, 9 and 10 and tell you what that. No, you don't. That should be in your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, David said, thy word hath I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee.
Right.
And as a Christian, we need to be able to have that. If we're going to go out and proclaim the gospel, if we're going to go out and make disciples, if we're going to go out and spread the love of God, then we have to be able to do it in a manner that is relevant to the people and that gets them to a point where they understand, and we're not just bashing them overhead with scriptures they've never heard before.
Well, you know, it's several things I wanted to touch on what you were saying, because it's important that. Because when we say, unfortunately, I want to clarify some things, because when you say draw them in.
Yeah.
Because we have folk now who do all kinds of things to, quote unquote, get people to come to church. So I want to be careful with that also, because, again, it's It's our lifestyle. It's how we present ourselves.
Right.
And even when we and how we engage in these conversations, because that could be the draw.
Right.
Because it when we talk, because even in our conversation, because today we could talk about a lot of things with the way there's a moral tone or immorality about it.
Yeah.
But how do we still engage the world or the culture?
That's
and the with a moral stance, and this is how come I believe what I believe. Yeah. I mean, we can have the big subjects, we can go with big ones to abortion, or we can go to little things like how a brother treats his wife and he's talking bad about his wife around you.
Exactly.
And that's what the Bible says about what does a husband in marriage do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And go ahead.
That's the good point. That's the word that I wanted to use is engaging. Mm-hmm. When I say draw them in, I'm talking about engaging them in a conversation.
Yes.
Okay, if you don't make a conversation exciting, if you don't make a conversation interesting, if you don't make it engaging, then you got people brushing you off and it's null effect.
Amen.
Okay, so you have to be able to make the conversation engaging. Okay, that's what I mean by drawing them in. That's what you got to hook them. If you're gonna fish, you got to hook them.
Got to hook them. At least get them on the hook. They might break the line.
They might break the line.
But you got to get the hook in.
You got to get the hook in. And the thing about it is that Christianity, we are so caught up in results that we miss the point of what the reason for sharing is.
Amen.
Okay. The Bible says that one man plants, one man waters,
yes,
but God gives the increase, okay? And because of that, we have to realize that it's about getting one to the point of salvation, but it's not always your job to get people to the point of salvation.
Amen.
The Bible said is to go proclaim the word. And once you proclaim the word, it's up for people to make the decision. Now, sometimes you may proclaim a word and it's just planting a seed.
Amen.
Sometimes you may proclaim a word and it brings somebody to a point of questioning. And then there are other times where you may proclaim a word and somebody says, okay, what do I need to do to change my life?
Amen.
But we have to be not worry about our results. It's not up to us to play God. It's up to us to proclaim God.
Amen, sir. And that's what I talked about. I had to grab my word because I thought this is a good opportunity because we have to do go to scripture for my brethren out there who are all saved and believers in Christ. Let's go to, I'm going to go real quick to Mark chapter number 4. And I'm going to read this parable of sowing of seed because this is what it's all about. Like you were saying, it's not up to us to bring people to Christ. The sinner's prayer, the prayer bench. I mean, you know, there's denominations have a lot of things. I believe Baptist has come join the church, open the doors of the church open.
Yeah.
I'm going to let all that be. I'll let God do that. But we're talking today here on Issues Christian Men's Talk. We're talking about the individual. You looking in the man that's in your mirror that you look at every morning, brushing your teeth, shave, or whatever you do in the morning. That's the guy we're talking about today, that we individually have to embrace this thing and take it as this is our lifestyle.
Right.
So let me read this real quick. We're at Mark chapter number 4. It says, and again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into the boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it, some on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, but because it had no depth of earth, but when the sun was up as it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop, and sprung up and increased, and produced some 30, some 60, some 100. Amen?
Amen.
So we as Christians, I encourage you first to go to Mark chapter 4 and read it, break it down, and open it up. This is for my believers, because this is where I believe where the gospel is what we're doing. We're sowing seed. The seed he talked about is the word of God, is the gospel, is our life, is our proclamation of the gospel to the lost and unbeliever. You know, and one of the things that I recently noticed a lot, we have a passion to come together and see who's the smartest one in the room as Christians.
Yeah.
And that's not what it's for. We come together, I had in our opening scripture, to edify one another. We come to be taught and pastored to edify in the body, mm-hmm. so the body can go out. And I think we missed the go out part. I'm not in church. I'm not a member of a church. I'm not sitting in a teaching to see and take a test to see if I get a higher mark than Pastor Watkins on the test.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if I can remember more scripture.
Yeah.
Or if I can break it down. I know he preached it, but I could preach that better.
Yeah.
I'm going to let that sink in a minute. So what I'm doing, I come to the church to get the word in me, live it out in my life, and then right. apply it in my life.
Right.
Again, that guy in the mirror. Now I'm called to go and tell an unbeliever. Because again, if we don't share the word, we can't assume or expect it that it's going to get out there. Because one of the things we have to understand is there's one soul out there who's only going to hear the gospel from us
right.
and from you. And from you, it's only there could be just one soul that's only going to be able to receive it from you. And God has a plan to use you. What do you say?
I think one of the things you said that was key was that we're supposed to hear the word,
mm-hmm.
and then we're supposed to internalize the word.
Amen.
Okay, and then apply it to our lives to deal with the mess that we have in our lives.
Amen. Lord Jesus. Okay, yeah, you're right. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then once we apply it to the mess that we have in our lives, we're now able to share it with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's happening in the body of Christ these days is that people have missed that middle step. Okay. Mm. They have acquired the word in order to get somebody told. You know, they've acquired the word to tell somebody about what they're doing wrong or what somebody else is doing wrong. Rather than they've internalized it, applied it to the issues in their lives, got healing from it, and now are able to share that word, okay? We're out to get people told. We're out to do the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's not what sharing the gospel is all about.
Amen.
It's not about to tell somebody how messed up their life is. It's not about telling somebody what they've done wrong or what they're on their way to hell and you're going to burn in the lake. No, it's not about all that.
Amen.
Okay, we read the word, we internalize it. We cannot make a disciple if we have not become a disciple ourselves.
Oh, my, sir. Yes,
okay?
Sir. Yes, sir.
All right, so if you haven't internalized that word, and we use this term all the time, if we haven't dealt with our issues,
mm-hmm.
then we are out there looking for results. We are out there to be the smartest person in the classroom because we're doing something for us.
Amen.
And not out there to share the gospel. And that's a problem. We're always looking for results. We're always looking to bring numbers in. We're always looking to say that I got this person saved or I got that person saved. Mm-hmm. And it's not about me. When you read the book Purpose Driven Life
right.
By Rick Warren, the first line in his first chapter is it's not about you.
Hmm.
So all of this is not about us. Like you said, there's somebody out there that's waiting to hear the word from us, the way we can deliver it, the way we can present it, because that's the only way it's going to reach them. And if we don't internalize it, if we don't work on our own issues, if we don't make it a part of us and we're just out there to try and say, I'm great at this or I'm bringing in the most souls, then you're out there doing it for the wrong reasons. The gospel saves, not us.
Amen.
The gospel heals, not us.
Amen.
The gospel delivers, not us. And we have to stop trying to do the work of the gospel and proclaim it and share it as we're supposed to.
Amen. And let me say, I want to bring this part in because, you know, when we talk, see, that's what I'm saying. Sowing of the seed. And then there are some who's called to tend it.
Yes.
That's called ministry. Because
uh-huh.
even if I sow a seed in someone and they come to faith,
uh-huh.
they're going to need someone to come alongside. And
exactly.
that's when we talk about men's ministry. That's why we have a passion for men's ministry.
Uh-huh.
Because even if I bring a brother to faith, he does the center prayer, the prayer bench, the doors that open. He does all that's fine.
Uh-huh.
But now, where are we when he needs to walk it out? When he's in the church
mm-hmm.
and he's struggling. He's struggling with his family. He's struggling in his finances.
Mm-hmm.
He's struggling raising his kids.
Exactly.
He's struggling in all the stuff he's got that God cleaned him up from.
Uh-huh.
But his flesh keeps calling his name
Man.
Every other week.
Man.
Who is, how are we ministering? Are we applying the salve?
Yeah.
Are we, because ministry, I mean, we need to redefine what ministry is, because ministry is serving.
Exactly.
And if we forget that ministry is serving, ministry is not preaching on from the pulpit.
Exactly.
Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday, I don't care when you do it. I don't care if you come on Saturdays. Yeah. You can be, you know, one of them people. That's fine. You know, Lord. But anyway, yeah. Ministry is engaging folks' lives for God.
Exactly.
And helping them through these things.
Yeah.
Because if we give that false gospel that once you give your life to Christ, it'll all be better.
Yeah, everything will be
all
right.
It's rosy. Your life. Come on.
This
is why people roll out of the church.
Exactly.
Because no one's ministering. We can preach or preach. We can preach or preach. We can. But, you know, I'm struggling with my wife. We both in the church, and I'm struggling with my wife.
Yeah.
We in the church, and my kids is, you know, they reached that stage now.
Yeah.
I need some help. I need somebody to pray with me about my kids. You know, young ones and adult ones. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But anyway, this is what we say, that it's ministry, and we need one another.
Exactly.
And that's what truly where the gospel, that's, I believe, was where it all starts. Are you in a place mature enough that you can come alongside someone in the gospel and make the gospel come alive for them?
Exactly. I want to address that by digging into the scripture that you gave us a little bit, if you could. I want to first talk about the fact that they are out there sowing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when they sowed, what they would do is they would have a bag on their shoulder, they would grab a handful of seed, and they toss it out.
Okay? There you go.
That's sowing. Now, the also term for that is called broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what we're doing is broadcasting the word.
Mm-hmm.
So just like this message is broadcasted,
right?
Sowing the seed is broadcasting.
Amen.
So when you broadcast the word, let me give you some numbers now, okay? Because sometimes we like numbers. We got to have numbers.
Yeah, we got stats.
We got to have some statistics.
Yeah, a lot of people take stats and they don't do very
all right.
well in it.
So the sower went out. He sowed seed, okay? Mm-hmm. It talked about four different types of seed. Those that fell on stony ground.
Mm-hmm.
Those that fell on, those that fell on fertile ground.
Mm-hmm.
But the sun choked them out. There's some that fell on good ground, and there was another fourth type that
they fell into the stony ground.
Uh huh.
The amongst the thorns.
Thorns, right.
Good ground. And that's it. That was it.
There was four types. Okay.
Okay. Stony ground.
Yeah.
Amongst the
fell
thorns.
Fell by the wayside.
By the wayside.
Yeah.
That means they didn't fall. They just fell on the side of the road somewhere.
All right. So there's four types of seed.
Amen.
That means that the only ones that took were the ones that were fell in good ground. Okay.
Yes.
That's 25%.
Amen.
So when you go out to minister, the Bible, when you read the scripture, it says that it's telling you already that only 25% of the people are going to be the ones that catch on, grab hold, and accept.
Let's say 1 in 4. I did it real quick in my head.
1 in 4.
1 in 4. Amen.
Okay. So that means that 75% of the time, you're going to have to re-sow that seed.
Amen.
Okay? Because it's not going to grab hold. They fell by the wayside, which means it didn't make it. They didn't hear you at all. They heard. They didn't accept it. And they don't want nothing to do with it.
Right.
Okay? It fell on
stony
ground, which means it hit. Okay? Mm-hmm. But it wasn't enough stuff yet to take root. Okay?
Right.
Then you got those that fell on good ground that came up. But it didn't go deep enough.
Right.
And when the heat came, they backslid.
Okay, for my unchurched folk, that means the pressures of life.
The pressures
that
of
means
life.
You get saved and none of your friends don't want to hear what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Because you all on fire for Christ.
Yeah.
They tired of you witnessing to them. They don't call you, don't hang. You get persecuted by your family. Your
exactly.
family say, oh, he got religion now.
Yeah, exactly.
I knew him since 1969. All of a sudden, he got religion now.
Exactly.
What you're going to hear.
This is the one.
Come on.
This is the one that jumps out there, gets saved, has all the zeal in the world.
Right.
They jump out there ready to tell everybody about Jesus Christ, and they get out there and get punched in the mouth.
There you go.
Literally.
Not literally.
But figuratively.
Figuratively.
And then they get mad because this is not what they expected to happen because nobody told them or trained them.
Amen.
They didn't prepare them.
That's right.
So you in this scenario, we realize that there are going to be only those that only 1 in 4 is going to accept you.
Okay.
3 out of the 4, you're going to have to re-sow. Okay.
Well, let's stop. Now I'm going to stop you there, too, because folk get to the point, you know, I witnessed to them. It did nothing happen.
Yeah.
I witnessed to them. Ain't nothing happen. I'm not dealing with them no more.
Yeah.
But Who said you're supposed to stop?
It's not. And
who said it's not about you?
You're right.
Exactly. You're not keep stop keeper. All right. You know what? I'm gonna calm down a little bit. Because, you know, stop keeping score.
Exactly.
Because did you get it the first time? Did you fake it the first time?
Please.
But then you found yourself. There was some stuff that popped up later. Mm-hmm. So was you producing fruit, or you got saved, and then you were still hitting, missing,
shucking and jiving,
whatever you want to call it.
Right.
You still somehow you fell back doing what you want to do, but you gave your life to Christ on that Sunday. You're so excited, Easter Sunday, Christmas, Mother's Day. But then you find yourself the same doing the same thing because you know Mother's Day is in May.
Yeah.
So you got to save Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Or something along.
By Labor Day. By Labor Day, you back in.
Because it was hot and heavy, and you know, and but
by Labor Day, you at the cookout.
You don't take
beer, you know.
Oh Lord. Because there's a lot of barbecues going on. The way, and then you're going to the beach. Stuff start happening.
Yes.
And you know, but anyway, that's what we have to say.
Yes.
Are we willing to continue to sow the seed for that 70, like you say, we gave the stats, that 70% that didn't hear you the first time?
Exactly.
Are you willing to keep sowing that seed until that ground gets to a place? Because there's things happening in people's lives. And that's where one of the things I really want to talk to you about, our consistency in our walk.
Right.
We talk about sowing.
As we said before, it's not about me trying to get somebody told.
Right.
It's not about trying to get the results. It's about, first of all, me getting my life right.
Amen.
Okay. That's the first thing I got to do. If you don't hear anything else from me in this conversation and you want to go out and witness, prepare yourself.
Amen.
Okay. And how do I prepare myself? I have to read my word.
Yes.
I have to internalize that word because that word has to first filter through my life.
Amen.
Okay, it has to filter through my life. It has to get all that crap out of my life first before I can go and tell anybody about their crap. Okay, the Bible says that we must first take the mote out of our eye.
Yes, sir.
Before we can take the beam out of somebody else's eye.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's quoting scripture, Matthew six.
Okay,
and we have to first fix the mess that's in us before we can tell anybody else about the mess they have in them.
Mm-hmm.
So that has to be the first step. And once we have that done, then we can sit down, prepare ourselves to go out and teach the word, proclaim the word, speak the word. And we're not worried about the results. We're worried about getting the message out.
Amen. And that's one of the things, you know, we said a lot in this segment, but I just want to be able to share the body of Christ that we are called again to be sowers of seed. Whatever we're doing, we can, you know, some of the things I've learned this from experience, that we can feed folk, we can have pantries, we can feed the homeless, we can have clothes, we can do Christmas outreaches, we can do whatever. We can do community events, a lot of things. But if we're not sowing the seed of the gospel in the people's lives that we're connected with, that we're building relationships with, over through all the other works, but those, I'm not going to condemn those works or belittle those works, because there's people who need that tangible support in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
But when we interact with them, are we now letting them know we're here because of Christ, and we're here to let you know about Christ, that Christ loves you, that Christ died for you,
right?
That the simplicity of the gospel, are we sharing that? You know, and we go into homeless shelters, or we go into women and children's shelters with all that we do, but are we doing the thing God called us to do, to sow seed that they can get saved? Not that they wouldn't bring them. Now, I'm going to say this. I may get in trouble with some brothers, but it's not about them all coming to our church on Sunday.
Okay.
It's about them coming into the body of Christ and then letting God use them.
Exactly.
Because, again, God has a purpose for them in their circumstance.
Exactly.
You know, in wherever they are in their physical circumstance, God still has a purpose. Because they could be, if we can get God, get them saved and let God use them right where they are in that shelter, what is the greatest witness for them to be able to preach to someone that's going through the same thing they're going through,
until
God delivers them?
Exactly.
But in their time, are they sowing the seed in someone else's life while they're there in that shelter?
Exactly.
Because that soul is going to need prayer.
Exactly.
But we're not there.
Exactly.
If we go once a week or once a month or whenever we go. But if we plant a seed of someone who's living with them and they can see a change in them,
yeah,
will that not draw them to God?
Exactly.
Or are we worrying about getting them to our building?
And we have to understand that there are many ways to share the gospel.
Amen.
And not all of them are verbal.
Amen.
Okay.
Yes,
not all of them are verbal.
Yes, sir.
There's some people that are not verbal and can still share the gospel by leaving a tract in a place.
Yeah, that still works.
That still works.
Hey, I learned that in the 80s, 90s?
Yeah.
Tracks still work.
Tracks
still works.
At that moment that somebody needs to hear that word, that track can find them at the right time and at the right place.
Amen.
Then there's the ones that hear the gospel by the way that you live.
Amen.
They see you as the living epistle that the Bible talks about.
Amen.
And they see the changes in you. They see something different in you. And when they see something different in you, it causes them to now inquire about what's different. What's different about you than everybody else?
Amen.
You know, why did you, as an example in Acts, Paul, why did you stay when everybody else would have run?
Amen.
Peter, you know, why did you stay?
Yes.
You know? And they see something different. And now, okay, now tell me what I need to do to be like you.
Amen.
Or to get what you have.
Amen. I want your life.
Mm-hmm.
Folk have to see us when we're going through.
Exactly.
And they say, man, you didn't snap, crackle, or pop.
Yeah.
I need it. Because if it was me.
Yeah.
I'd have snapped, crackled, and popped.
Yeah.
But you didn't.
Yeah.
So they need to see that.
Uh-huh.
And you have an opportunity to share. Because,
exactly.
Again, this world's not my home.
Exactly.
The stuff that happens to me. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be transparent. It takes time to get there.
Oh, definitely.
Because we all get offended.
Oh, yeah.
And we all know, you know what? That brother ain't going to do that to me again. But we can't respond that way.
Yeah.
And we have to train our spirit. It's not a natural thing. Because a natural thing gets you high blood pressure.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're keeping stuff in.
Yeah.
But if you're not offended by it, or the things that happen, and you're not moved by it because you know who God is, you know God has a bigger plan.
Right.
And again, we don't attach our stuff to stuff that's going to rot and rust and die anyway.
Yeah.
So if we're not tied to it, when it goes down, we won't go down with it. We can cut the line and let it go. And that goes from cars, houses, people. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Deke, I got some bad news for you, man.
Yeah.
You're not going to reach everybody.
Really?
Really.
Wow.
And as soon as we can accept that fact that we're not going to reach everybody, we won't get upset when somebody says, I don't want to hear what you have to say.
Does that mean me or the body of Christ? Because the body of Christ, is it me? I'm not going to reach anybody, or God's not going to reach anybody?
You're not going
to
reach everybody.
So there's some people who ain't going to hear what I got to say.
Exactly.
For whatever reason.
There's some people that's going to be sitting in your face and not going to hear what you got to say.
Okay. Cool. You mean like every day?
Every day.
Like in my house.
Like in your house.
Wow, really?
Like in your bedroom.
That's marriage ministry. That's another show.
All right,
we ain't gonna talk about that.
All right, leave that one alone.
That's interpersonal relationship stuff. We ain't gonna talk about
okay.
that.
Okay.
Amen. Anyway. But amen. But the Bible again. Let me say this. No, let me say this. Because the Bible says, if you have an unbelieving spouse, look it up.
Right.
There's an answer. Again, the Word of God has an answer.
Oh, yeah, it does have
an answer. If you have an unbelieving spouse, man, now I'm going to say spouse, because I'm going to say wife and, I'm sorry, stop clapping. A wife or a husband who's an unbeliever, the Bible gives us instructions for
that. Oh, yes, definitely.
And it starts with prayer.
Yeah.
So I'm going to leave it right there, because we can do a show. Again, we encourage you to continue to watch us during 2017, we're going to be bringing some issues and some topics and some discussions and bring some men of God in here and give you some wisdom that we can get through this stuff. And again, I'll back all the way up. This is why we have a passion for men's ministry, for a time when men can come together, reason together, because we have more things in common than we are different. And
yes,
the things that we're dealing with as husbands, as fathers, and as sons, that we can encourage one another and help each other through. We're not out there alone. It's not a Lone Ranger thing. It's not, you're not a mercenary. You're connected to a family of God. You're connected to a bigger family of God. And we have to get that across to people that you're not alone. And not keep things to yourself. Find someone. It's not going to be everybody.
Right.
Because it's not going to be, it may not even be your pastor. But you have to find someone who believes in the Word of God that can help you through and encourage you through. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I want to share something real thing, because one of the things we have agenda that we want to set for 2017 here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. This is what we call, this is our prayer. These are six milestones that we want each man to take, and I'm personally taking it on, and I share it on the radio show too, but we're going to share it here, that one of the things we want to talk about is, as men and brothers and husbands, I got to get my glasses so I can read this. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
As men and brothers and husbands, fathers and sons, in 2017, we want to do 6 things. We want to be able to share the gospel to one person face to face every month. That means we're sowing seed every month to one person face to face. You know, we all have Facebook pages, Instagram, Twitter accounts, whatever. We posted it with the telescoping. We're Facebook live in now.
Yeah.
All that, you know, that's God. I mean, we can use media. We can use the technology to reach people. But now, the face-to-face one-on-one. I'm putting my hand on the brother, on the person, and I'm sharing the gospel with them to see where they're at, to be able to look in their face, look in their eyes.
Right.
So we're encouraging brothers to share the gospel with one person face to face every month and see where God leads you, what relationships he can lead you in, how you can build new a relationship with that person. Number 2, be discipled or mentored by a man. Every brother out there, there should be someone in your life who's holding you accountable. When I talk about discipling and mentoring, do you want to be a better man 12 months from now? Do you want to draw closer to God? Know more of God.
Mm-hmm.
Be used by God in a way that's sowing and producing fruit. So we need to be discipled and mentored by men, being in connection with another man, our elder, spiritual elder, age-wise, someone who's speaking into our life and giving us guiding direction, someone we can bounce things off of,
yeah.
Someone who's going to encourage us, and most of all, someone who's going to critique us. Because that's where men get a lot, where pride is.
Yes.
We can't handle correction. I won't say correction, because that makes you sound childish. But critiquing. Our lives need to be critiqued by someone.
Right.
That's going to hold the word of God up and say, okay, did you meet that right there? And then you can look at the word of God and, no, I didn't. But if we have no one holding it up to us, we think we got it all together. Amen?
Amen.
So that's one. Disciple another man. You know, we have men been in the body of Christ a long time. You know, you may or may not be a pastor, elder, leader, deacon, but you're in the body of Christ. God has a call on your life, a purpose that you're saved.
Exactly.
So are we discipling a man? Find someone, build a relationship where you're discipling. A Bible study of one of two or just two, you and someone else, and you and him are reasoning out the word together, mm-hmm. spending time together. Buffalo Wild Wings, I don't know, yeah. Outback, wherever it takes, that you hanging out and being with someone. We were in January, so, you know, you got 11 more months. You still got time. If you're watching this show, you still got a couple of days left in January, but you have the rest of the year,
yes.
to start that process. And then with that, number 4, is building new friendships. We get into ruts, we get into cliques, we got those regular brothers we hang with all the time. In this year, reach out to build a new friendship with someone, saved or unsaved. Just friendships. We talked about spreading the message and ministering to folk and doing outreach, but building a new friendships. Because you never know, even in the body of Christ, you connect with someone who needs to be connected with. Because again, in our churches and men in ministry who are already in the church, in the pews, if they came to Christ, they're struggling. They may not have no friend. They might have been separated from their boys, their crew, their whatever.
Right.
And they're looking for something now to hang out with. And unfortunately, sometime on Sunday, we gather, then we explode, and we never see each other again until next Sunday we come back together. That's not really a family. That's not really connecting one to another. Mm-hmm. That's not koinonia, as I imagine. Our Greek word for today is koinonia. And that means we're in fellowship. Our lives are intermingled and we're ingrained with each other. We're connected, really, truly connected. So build a new friendship. Number 5, to mentor someone not in our bloodline. When we say that, just look around in the culture. Look around at young men, old men who are doing stuff and they need some guidance and direction. Are we willing to mentor? Our son and our daughters, our nephews, fine. Someone not in our bloodline. You know, someone that we're in this culture, in these neighborhoods, wherever you are. And when I say neighborhoods, I want to go with it. How about your median income is above $75,000 a year? Them young people need mentoring also. You know, there's folk out here who need it. They could be in college, in community college, the military, whatever. They need to be mentored. And they need someone to speak into the light. But we have to be in a place, like we said before.
Right.
We're taking the mote out of our eye before we can address someone's log. I mean, no, wait a minute. We got the big thing.
Yeah,
whatever. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But anyway, mentor someone, not in our bloodline. Make a connection. And most of all, prayer. Pray in this 2017 that Jesus will use you to help grow someone else. Because again, I say this a lot, it's all the great men of God that we know, the Jakes, the Miles Monroe, the Craflo, the Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, you know, everybody you listen to, David Jeremiah, mm-hmm. all of those great teachers, someone ministered to them so they were able to be able to who they are now. Someone shared the gospel with them, someone mentored, someone sowed, someone watered. Someone bring the increase that they could be used now.
Yes.
For the glory of God.
Yes.
So we pray that God will use us to help to bring someone to Christ that we won't even see their ministry, whatever happens. Whatever, how God uses them. We may not see it, but we were faithful to what God told us to do. So those are the six things that we want to just encourage you this year to do as men of God here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. Mm-hmm.